You're gonna listen to Barbershop Talks.
He is my king. He's my one. Yes, he's my father. Yes, he's my son. I can talk to him, cause he understands everything I go through and everything I am. He's my support system. I can't live without him. The best thing since sliced bread is his kiss, his hugs, his lips, his touch. And I just want the whole world to know about my black brother. I love you, and I'll never try to hurt you. I want you to know that I'm here for you forever, true. Cause you're my black brother, strong brother, and there is no one above you. I want you to know that I'm here for you forever, true. He's misunderstood. Some say that he's up to no good around the neighborhood. But for your information, a lot of my brothers got education. Now check it, you got your Wall Street brother, your blue collar brother, you're down for whatever, chilling on the corner brother, talented brother. And to every one of y'all behind bars, you know that Angie loves you. But my black brother,
WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson. This afternoon, we have the pleasure of having a local business owner, Jawan Morrison, who is the owner of MJ's Barbershop at 755 Columbia Street, Hudson, New York, 12534. Welcome to the studio, Jawan.
Thank you for having me, Larissa.
Great. Yeah, thanks. It's such a sunny, beautiful blue day. Wonderful. Well, I just wanted to kind of ask you a few questions about MJ's Barbershop. You've been around for a long time here in the city of Hudson. And maybe any insights you would be able to share with locals who may want to also start their business. Could you tell me a little bit about what made you want to be a barber?
Sure. Been around, you know, the family for a long time. Actually, I'm a third generation barber. You know, my father, my grandfather, you know, I'm other side of the family. We have a couple of beauticians and barbers as well. So, you know, it's always been around. So I just took the time out to basically pick it up. And I've been doing it around about since I was 15. I was always interested in it. And then, you know, it just one day I took it serious and here I am.
Wow, that's amazing. Tell us about your journey to becoming a barber. I know you mentioned that you would do hair, and you're third generation. I mean, that's powerful in itself.
Yes, well, that's a good question. Pretty much, you know, like anyone else, you know, it was something that I wanted to do. I was very interested, being that I was always around it. Started kind of in an art form, you know, I liked to draw and things like that. And then one day I decided to pick up the clippers, you know. You start trial and error, you know. Mm-hmm. Started messing up my hair a couple times with friends, you know, things like that. And then, you know, practice make perfect, so I got better. And, you know, I started cutting kids' hair and things like that for free, things like that. And the turnout was pretty good. And one day I said to myself, you know what, I should take this very serious. You know, it was something that I always wanted to do, like I said before. And just one day I just woke up and I said, you know what, I'm going to go to school. And like I said, here I am now, you know. It was a rough journey, but, you know, I stuck through it. Mm-hmm. And like I said, now we're here.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, you've been here 7 years, is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay, wonderful. Well, in the 7 years that you've been here, Juwan, I've personally and others have seen many barbershops come and gone. What makes MJ stand the test of time?
Well, first thing is you have to be consistent, you know. If it's something that you really want to do, you know, you stick to it. I took failure as not an option. You know, failure was not an option for me. And every day, you know, just being consistent, coming here every day and people seeing my doors is open. And then at that, you know, giving quality work, you know, that's a big thing too. You know, if you take pride in what you do, you know, eventually you will become successful, you know. So those are the keys to me, you know, that really made me stand out. Other than that, just making an atmosphere for the people, you know, making it comfortable, you know, more homely and stuff like that, you know, to where they can come and they can feel comfortable and bring, you know, they family, friends, or whatever it is they may want to bring along with them or even refer them, you know. Mm-hmm. So that was a big thing too. So, you know, that's what I would say. That kind of sticks out to me, you know.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, did you experience any setbacks as some business owners who start a business do?
As far as setbacks, I would say just, you know, the time thing, you know, just taking out a lot of time. You have to be committed. It does take a lot of time. You know, you're here, you know, you're up in the morning, you're here until, you know, when you get outside, when I'm finished, it's usually dark time. So, you
know,
so it is very timely, you know. Just a lot of time it takes out of, you know, family and things like that. But, you know, if this is what you really want to do, you know, that's something you have to sacrifice, but it also has to be a balance there, you know.
Okay.
So that's the biggest thing. But other than that, no real setbacks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, like I said, I wasn't trying to take failure as an option. So
gotcha.
Whatever came with it, it just came with it. And, you know, I just stuck it out. So, you know, it has its ups and its downs. So, you know, that's the biggest thing with it. But other than that, that's the only thing I can say, just the time. You got to have the time and you got to have the balance in it, you know.
I understand that. Yeah. So the takeaways I can know that the audience would take away from what you've stated thus far, you know, being a business owner for 7 years, is definitely perseverance,
yes,
consistency,
yes,
and really being committed to your craft. Would you agree?
Yes, definitely. You have to have all three. If you don't have those three, somewhere you're going to sink.
Wonderful. Now, what are your long-range goals for M&J's barbershop?
Well, my long-range goals is basically I want to create an atmosphere and environment for others, you know, to come in and build their own opportunities, you know, hopefully to expand M&J's or whatever, another barbershop with a salon or whatever it may be, because, you know, this right here is just a stepping stone for me, you know. I do have visions for other things and bigger things, but right here is just a start, and right now it's going pretty good for me. So if I can create opportunities for others to come in and be able to, you know, build up their clientele and possibly open up, you know, a shop for themselves or whatever the case may be, you know, it's always a good thing. I like to help other people, you know what I'm saying? So that's a big thing. So my long-range goals would be to possibly get more people in here as far as workers and things like that that's committed and have the same, you know, drive that I do.
Okay.
And just, you know, build from there, and hopefully we can expand. Maybe we can have one in Greene County or somewhere else, you know.
Oh,
you never know.
Would that,
you know what I'm
be?
Saying? So, you know, yeah, it's good, you know, and like I said, it's here, you know.
Yes.
It's definitely here, you know. We just got to build, and right now I'm still in the building stage, and I get people that come all the time, you know, different people, so I could definitely see that it is growing. So that's why I just want to create those opportunities for others, and as well as for the barbershop to expand.
Yeah, it definitely is a family atmosphere. I see, like, brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews, and just everyone always has a nice smile on their face. When I walk past your door, I'm just saying, you know, good morning to you. Everyone's always so cheerful and happy. Is that the atmosphere that you create within your barbershop?
Definitely. You want to be, you just want to be there and be, you know, friendly and things like that. Keep it professional, stuff like that. You know, we have our times where we're in here, we joke, things like that, you know, you know, because that's basically what a barbershop is. You know, everybody comes in here, you know, I'm kind of like a, you want to say a therapist, you know, sometimes, you know, I listen to other people's problems and, you know, sometimes, you know, I maybe have my own problems, but it brightens up my day just to hear, you know, someone else's, you know, problems. And I say to myself, you know, my problems ain't that bad. So, you know, and be able to try to help them out as possible, you know, as best way as possible is always, you know, a good thing for me. You know, I just most of the time just give a good ear because that's all they really want is just, you know, for you to listen. So I just listen to them and stuff like that. And if I can, you know, put it. And put in it or whatever, give them some a different perspective, then, you know, that's what I'll do. But most of the time, I just try to, you know, just keep it, you know, on a hearing tip, you know.
Gotcha. A listening tip. Absolutely. What would be your advice to someone looking to start a business?
I would say the first thing is just take the time out to really think about what it is they want to do. You know, put it down on paper first and, just try not to rush everything and kind of keep it in perspective where, you know, what it is you actually want to do and try to keep those things in perspective and just work hard. You know, you work hard, you stay consistent, you take pride in what it is you do, and everything will come together eventually, you know, and you know, just treat the people themselves, you know, treat them with respect and friendly, and, you know, you'll get the best results that way, you know, just working hard. Mm-hmm.
Now, how diverse is your clientele, Juwan?
That's funny that you ask because I got all different walks of life come through here. I'm very diverse. Got a lot of different people that come here from different backgrounds and things like that. Mm-hmm. And it's always a good thing, you know, because, you know, you get to learn more about people, you know. So it's not like it's limited, you know. I have all different types of people, Caucasian, whether it's black, whether it's, you know, I got Indians, you know, Jamaicans, it's all different, so I could never just pinpoint and just say it's just one type of, you know, clientele.
Okay.
You know, mine's very diverse, so, you know, if you got the hair, I can cut it.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't matter, you know, so yeah, I could say very diverse, all different walks of life, which is a good thing for me, because I guess gives me, you know, I'm able to learn more about people themselves, and not just, you know, just about one specific race. You
yes.
know, just different things and different, you know, aspects of the life, so that's good.
That's wonderful. Now, you grew up in Hudson, and what made you really want to stay right here in the heart of Hudson and start a business?
Well, it was weird though, because I wanted to get out of here, tell you the truth. Like, you know, I was always one of those persons, my mind was always bigger, you know, than the town. You know, I wanted to do other things, and I didn't feel like this town was here, specifically here, was going to give me that opportunity. And one day, you know, like I said, when I went to school, I woke up one day and, you know, I seen this area that was for rent. And I said, you know what? I'm going to try it.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am. 7 years later, I'm still here. So, you know, it was just one of those things, man. If the opportunity was given, I was going to take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if it fell, then I would have been gone. I would have been gone a long time ago. So this is basically what kept me around.
Wow.
This definitely kept me around, so.
Wow. That it's a true testament to perseverance and success. I mean, 7 years, you know, lucky so. 7, and you're going on 8. Now, since it is 7 years, it is your anniversary, what plans does MJ's Barbershop have to celebrate?
Well,
Such a big landmark.
I do want to, you know, kind of put something together for customer appreciation, something like that, you know. I don't have a set date right now, but I'm thinking, you know, once it start warming up, I don't know, the next month or so, whatever, you know, figure out something that we can do for the customers and give back to them, you know, whether it's, you know, cutting the kids' hairs for free or, you know, having a cookout or whatever the case may be. But it's something that I'm going to sit back and I'm going to try to, you know, put together and figure something out. And hopefully we can get that going sometime this year, especially sometime this summer. It'll be a good thing for everybody, you know, especially for the customers and stuff, to show them that I appreciate them, because without them, it definitely would not be an M&J. So I just want to let that known. So thank everybody out there who do come in and show support to me.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it very much, and we will get something together for you guys soon.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, if people want to connect with you, like you said, have hair, will cut, how can they connect with you?
You can either just walk on up 755 Columbia Street, or you can get in touch with me. You know, I got cards. I hand out cards on the deli. Get in touch with me. My number is 518-567-1934. So, you know, you just give me a ring. Let me know, you know, you're interested, you need a cut, or whatever the case may be. And we go from there.
That's wonderful. Well, thanks again for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you got to run them back on over to your barbershop and get started. But I do appreciate you coming into the studio this afternoon. And congratulations on such a landmark anniversary.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate the time.
Life. I wonder, will it take me under?
Smoking weed in the street without cops harassing. Imagine going to court with no trial. Lifestyle cruising blue Bahama waters. No welfare supporters. More conscious of the way we raise our daughters. Days are shorter, nights are colder. Feeling like life is over. These snakes strike like a cobra. The world's hot, my son got knocked. Evidently, it's elementary. They want us all gone eventually. Trooping out of state for a plate. Knowledge, if coke was cooked without the garbage, we'd all have the top dollars. Imagine everybody flashing. Fashion, designer clothes. Lacing your click up with diamond rolls. Your people's holding dough, no parole, no rubbers. Going raw, imagine law with no undercovers. Just some thoughts for the mind. I take a glimpse into time, watch the blimp read, the world is mine.
If I rule the world,
imagine that.
I free all my sons. I love them, baby. Black diamonds and pearls.
Could it be, if you could be mine, we both shine.
If I rule the world,
still living for today. In these last days of time, where to be? Paradise life relaxing. Black, Latino, and Anglo-Saxon. Armani exchange the range. Cash, lost tribe of Shabazz. Free at last. Brand new whips to crash. Then we laugh in the iller path. The villa houses for the crew. How we do? Trees for breakfast. Dime sexes have been stretches. So many years of depression make me vision the better living. Type of place to raise kids in. Opening eyes to the lies. History's told foul. But I'm as wise as the old owl. Plus the gold child. Seeing things like I was controlling. Click rolling. Tricking six digits on kicks and still holding trips to Paris. I civilize every savage. Give me one shot, I turn trite life to lavish. Political prisoner set free, stress free. No work release, purple M3s and jet skis. Feel the wind breeze in West Indies. I lick Coretta, Scott King, mayor the cities. And reverse fiends the willies. It sound foul, but every girl I meet to go downtown. I'd open every cell in Attica, send them to Africa.
If I rule the world,
imagine that.
I free all
My name is Ashani. You listen to Barbershop Talks. I love you, Uncle Buddy.
Welcome back to the Barbershop Talk. I'm your co-host, Big Vern. This is the local spotlight. And in the studio today, I have...
It's your boy, Ron Bugatti.
And this is Aggie.
Welcome, fellas. How about you guys tell me a little bit about yourselves?
Well, you know me, Vern. Grew up in Hudson, New York. I'm Guyanese.
Okay.
I've been doing this rap thing for about 13 years. I'll say since like sixth grade. And I'm just working, man. Just trying to do the thing, you know. That's about it right now.
Ag, what's good, man?
What up, Big Vern? You know me? I'm from Haiti. I was born in Haiti. Came up here as a child. And ever since then, man, I grew up in Brooklyn. And then after that, I came to Hutt City. And, you know, basically, I am from Hudson. That's what I say.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, music, I've been doing it since I was 4 years old. So to me, music is very different. You know, this is something that I woke up, instead of eating breakfast, I'm doing music. So it's something very different to me. But besides that, you know, we working, me and Ron in the studio. Just doing what we got to do. Hopefully get out of here one day.
Yeah, man. You know what? I've always told you guys that I like your flow. I like your swag. You know what I'm saying? So congratulations, man. Congratulations.
Appreciate it.
Why don't you inform me and my listeners what's been going on in your life? You know, what's new?
Well, we just been working very hard on the next mixtape. It's coming out hopefully maybe May. Should be coming out. Probably like halfway done with it. Got to do a couple photo shoots. And we're working on a video coming up with Lost Cause. We got the show coming up on 420 in Syracuse, New York at the SRC Center. So, you know, we working very hard on that. And that's what the focus is on right now.
Yeah, you know, like he said, two big things that's happening is our mixtape. You know, we really want to make sure it's a good body of work. We don't just want to put anything out there. Okay. So, you know, hopefully by May it comes out. And then the big show on 420, really preparing for that, making sure it's a good show, a good turnout. So please make sure you come out, 420. Come support. Nothing but fun.
Where's that at again?
This will be in Syracuse, New York.
Okay.
Right at the SRC Center.
Okay, that's what's up, man. Congratulations. You're probably going to hear me say congratulations a ton of times, but I do have a lot of respect for you guys, and I salute you for making moves and bigging up HUD City wherever you go. So that's big right there.
Of course.
How about the Rooftop Cypher? You know, everybody was in tune to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was all on YouTube, Worldstar, and stuff like that. And, Brian, I know that you were a part of it. And as a matter of fact, the word on the street that you were a part of one of the best cyphers that Hudson has ever seen.
Yeah.
What was your overall thoughts about that?
I mean, my overall thought is I think everyone came pretty much correct. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I liked a little piece of what everyone did, what they put forth in the cypher. You know what I'm saying? Maybe some people thought that they didn't do too hot, but, you know, I gave respect to everybody. I vibed with everybody. It was a fun day. Mm-hmm. You know, we were out there probably about 3 or 4 hours on the rooftop getting stuff done. And it was a good opportunity for everybody.
So. Yeah. And you wasn't actually in the Rooftop Cypher, but I know you were a part of some of the comments, and I know you read them. How did you perceive those comments? Because a lot of them was negative at the start, but what I did see was HUD City stand up as a group and as like a, you know, overall family and represent our own. How did you feel about those comments, or did you expect those comments? And, you know, what was your overall take of that?
I mean, honestly, you know, I personally didn't rap in a cypher, but I was there on the rooftop just supporting. And I think that's really what it starts off with, is you see a bunch of guys and ladies doing what they got to do. The number one thing you have to do is support. I don't care how you may feel about this verse, that verse, but it did the job. The job was to get a noise, a buzz, put Hudson somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So all the comments, you know, of course, is negativity. That's what you put music out there. You need criticism. You need people to say if they liked it or not. And as an artist and as a whole, we're supposed to take that in and build from it. You know, so I always hope that the rappers that were part of the cypher never allowed those negativity to get to them. You know, you can only go up from now. So, you know, that's really what I thought about it. But it was a great, thing that happened to the city.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was younger, starting out rap, you know what I mean? I ain't gonna front. I was whack. You know, feel me? Like, people was telling me, like, yo, you gotta quit. But at the end of the day, as soon as I took that negativity, I went back home, got my pen, my paper, and started writing. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yeah, they gonna feel this one. Mm-hmm. I'm working on my flow now. They gonna feel this one. And as years started going on and I started recording and stuff like that, I started developing my own style, my own flow. Then, you know, I got some real good feedback. So I kept with it. Always. Never quit.
Yeah, that's another question that I have is that in rapping, since most of the time, I mean, I understand you guys are a group, but for the most part, you take a lot of criticism. So how do you have that tough skin, or how do you say, okay, I know this negativity is really positive. How do you take that negativity and continue to want to work in it? You know, because everybody doesn't like everybody's bars.
No.
Somebody could come out and like, yo, you trash, man. But how do you say, if someone was to come up, yeah, Bugatti, you trash. How do you say, all right, I might be trash to you, but I'm going to continue to work so that, because this person likes my stuff. Like, what's that drive in you?
I mean, honestly, I don't care what they say. I'm going to just keep doing what I got to do, mm-hmm. regardless of what, who says anything. You know what I'm saying? And at the end of the day, they're not giving me no money or anything like that. They're not supporting me. So at the end of the day, I got to go and support myself and do what I have to do and get things done. That's how I move.
Okay. Hey.
You know, me, it's criticism. When you hear criticism, it's you can take it two ways. With me, it's certain people, I value their opinions.
Okay.
So if I value your opinion and it hits me in a certain spot, that can only make me go back and say, look, I want that person to feel differently next time they hear something I just spit or something I did. But otherwise, I just let it go because I'm not doing music for people. I'm doing music because it makes me feel good. When I wake up and I write something, or when me and Ron's in the studio, it's we're doing music because this is what we like to do. This is what we started hanging out to do. Okay. And it grew from there. So there's no way I can allow somebody's negativity to come in between what we're doing for fun and for to really make ourselves feel good. You know, there's no way anybody should let that happen to them. Criticism, it could be good.
Yeah, I agree. And I like the, I just like the avenue you guys are taking, man. It's real positive being around you guys. And I think that's what rap needs today is positive people, but still with lethal bars. I respect that. This is a question that I'm going to ask every artist that comes in here. And it sounds so repetitious, but collabos, you know, if you had a chance to do a collabo with somebody locally, I want to keep everything locally because I'm about Hud City, man. These are people, and this is what this radio station, well, actually this radio show is about. So collabos locally, who would you, who have you, and who would you again?
Well, I'm going to start with who we work with. We've worked with Stud, we work with Neff, we work with Dutch. No, we didn't work with Dutch yet. Not yet. We work with Trips Burner. We work with AK. You know, a lot of the people that actually are doing music in Hudson, we already work with. I worked with Young Paris in the past. I worked with, before the Cypher, you know, people that I would want to do a collabo with right now, I would say Dutch. I haven't did anything with Dutch yet. Probably Big James, a.k.a. Drummer Boy. You know, well, that's all I can think of is right now.
Okay.
All right. Me personally, you know, just to start off, is like I do music very differently. So when I, like, for example, all the hype that's going on with Musically in Hudson right now, I like it. But I don't want to jump and just start getting people to come be on songs with me because I watch, you know, I listen to everybody, even though people know you do music, people don't know you do music, I know you do music. So I like to pick out people that I know that will be great, the vibes will be great. And, you know, like Ron said, we've did songs with Stud, you know, those people are always going to, we're always going to do songs with them because they're in our circle. You know, I definitely want to get Canary Cheese, but I'm going to get them. I'm going to get him in our own time when it fits best. You know, he a busy guy right now. Definitely Dutch. You know, Dutch been in the studio one time. You know, hopefully he come back soon. And, you know, we've done Lost Cause, definitely. Oh, that's that's your family.
Shout out to them.
You know, AK. You know, anybody that's willing to do music, just come do music. Let's get this work.
That's one of the things I can say. And, again, I would salute you all. It's like everybody seems to want to work with anybody that's willing to work, but someone that's putting in hard work as them. Mm-hmm. You don't want to work with a slacker. You know somebody that's grinding. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll do music with you if we're on the same vibe.
Yeah, that's the big thing. You know, that's definitely the big thing. And like with me personally, I don't know how Ron feels about this, but you know, I see a lot of people put songs every day, which is great. You know, shows great work ethic, everything. But I would really rather, you know, I want to see people do more like, take your time, because that shows a lot. You know, when you take your time, sometimes a song take days to do.
Yeah,
because you might hear something and you'd be like, "Nah, I'm gonna change this later." And next thing you know, you've been working on this one song for 2 days because of the creativity you coming with, and you're not just putting the first thing that comes out. And you say, "Oh, I'm done, wax, finish." So I look for like a collabo. That's what I look for. Okay. People that actually take their time. Mm-hmm. To do it, because that's what we do. You know, a body of work, we don't like to put anything out there because we're being judged. Mm-hmm. So you got to come out with your A game, at least B plus something.
Yeah. So the saturation, you just saying, like, listen, it ain't about dropping the track in 30 minutes and trying to get as many tracks out. It's not about, you know, it's about the quality, not the quantity.
You always got to have a business plan, and music is actually, you have to have that business plan for everything to work.
Okay. You know? Now, piggybacking off of that, would you guys say that music was a hobby, or is it like a possible career? You know, is this something that you guys, is in your heart to say, listen, right now I'm grinding, but at the end of the day, I really want to do this music thing? Or is it like stamp collecting? Yeah, you know, on Saturdays, I'll go in the studio, I'll drop a little hit, you know, but then Monday through Friday, it's back to my regular gig.
Honestly, you know, and I could speak for, you know, I'm going to let Ron speak too, but, you know, me, I work full time. 2:30 to 10:30. Mm-hmm. From 10:30 to whenever, I'm in a studio. So okay. I could go straight to work from the studio from a I don't sleep. So if I don't sleep to do this music thing, then it can't just be a hobby.
Okay.
I have to try to, you know, like we all look at it as in we trying to make it. We want to get money off doing this. We doing it. We put so much money into it. Why not make money out of it? And at the same time, everything starts off as a hobby.
Right.
You know, so, you know, that's really how I look at it. Yeah, it's a hobby, it's a passion, and it's also something we're trying to make into a career. Okay. And that's what you got to do.
Respect.
I'm going to go with, I wanted to make a career out of this, you know. This is a dream that I'm chasing since I was young. You know, some things are starting to happen now, so why not stick with it? Like Ag, I work a full-time job. I go hard with that, but music, I'm trying to go extra hard with it, especially when this mixtape drop in May is okay. Going down.
Okay. Any names for the mixtape, or are you still trying to figure that out? Or
yeah, it's still in the works. You know, okay. We got a few, but we still don't know. You know, I think we came up with Big Business. That mm-hmm. was like one of the ones that kind of stuck with it okay. us, but. You know, it always changed. Always, like, what you're in the mood for.
Yeah.
Well, just promise to keep us posted. You know that, you know. Keep me and the listeners and everybody posted.
Yeah, you're going to be the first one in the loop.
Of course, yeah, definitely.
This portion of the segment is called Wrap Up and Then Wrap Up. I'm just going to give you guys an opportunity individually to go ahead and give your shout-outs. Tell anybody and everybody who's listening what you have coming up, you know. And, yeah, just go in.
I would like to say, if you can, come and support us in Syracuse, New York at the SRC Center in 420, April 20th. So come out and show your support for us. Lost Cause, what's up?
I mean, you know, I want to give a few shout-outs, actually. Definitely, April 20th, big thing with Lost Cause. You know, that's the other half of the family. And definitely shout-out to them. And just a few artists. Like, I really want to give a shout-out to, like, a guy like Maserati Mitri, which is Bills, you know, he's actually
definitely
he a hard worker. Mm-hmm. So I definitely, you know, if you didn't know about him, yeah, he goes in
definitely.
And just everybody in Hudson, not in Hudson, if we know you, you know, Albany, New York, the city, just do your thing, keep doing your thing. We definitely hear you. Hopefully soon we get this collab going. But if you rapping and you singing, whatever you're doing, keep it up.
I like to also say shout out to Matt Block Time also.
Okay. I did a little survey after my last show, and everybody was saying, and big ups to my man Slay, he was like, yo, V, you really got to get them to spit, man. You know what I'm saying? We sitting on the edge of our seats. We really want to hear them spit. So I told you ahead of time, you know, I kind of warned you. So what I'm going to do is I need some bars, man. So listen, everybody listen. Push record on your tape. I got Bugatti in here. I got Aggie in here. They about to go ham, you heard?
It's Bugatti. NY's my state, O's. Keep cash them pesos. Y'all walk that thin rope. Got a bad chick with that pea coat. Light skin, no cake soap. This raw like good dope. AR with the mean scope. Obama's back, we got hope. Bust it open one time. Make it rain in the sunshine. Brothers home like a landline. We racked up like a clothesline. Waved off that moonshine. Wolves out when the moonshine. Beef well done, how I want mine. Whole 18s, that's 2 9s. G stuff, Dutch lit. We don't care in the public. Patch your eye up. Hater, you a slick Rick. I'ma start a riot. So fly with no pilot. Me alone in the cockpit. Better hold your life for the 9 hit. Ah, I'm about the bread. I'm about to dough, got a bad chick, and she about to blow. Kill no John Doe, test me, that's a no-no. Me and Vern, that duo. Come on, man.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
set tonight. We're not through. I'm gonna drop a new song. Cause I don't accept everything that you're telling us. What are you selling us? The creator dwelling us. I sit in your unknown class while you're failing us. I failed to class cause I ain't with your reasoning. You're trying to make me you by seasoning. Up my mind with CJ Run. See John walking a hardcore New York. Come on now, it's like a chocolate cow. It doesn't exist, no way, no how. It seems to me that in the school this ebony, African history should be pumped up steadily, but it's not. And this has got to stop. See spot run, run, get spot. Insulting to a black mentality, a black way of life, or a jet black family. So I include with one concern that you must learn.
Yo, Chris. Whoa. Hold up, D. Hold up, D. We're gonna see if they're really ready for this.
Are y'all having fun tonight?
Hey, this is Ryan from Great Barrington, tuning in to WGXC 90.7 FM. I'm listening to the Barbershop Talks right now. That's where it's at.
Welcome back, everybody, to WGXC 90.7 FM. I'm your host, Larissa Parks. The Staley B. Keith Social Justice Center presents Barbershop Talks. We have the privilege this afternoon to have Dan Gredinetti in the studio. Thanks for stopping in, Dan.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Great. Dan, you recently gave a speech at the State of the Community event a few weeks ago about racial disparity in the area. And so, you know, we really had a few questions we want to kind of touch upon today to kind of get your viewpoint, the massive public response to a lot of the comments that you had mentioned in your speech, and some other thoughts about how we can come up with solutions for the area. So could you briefly tell me about your history? I mean, any common Joe could come on in and say some of the comments that you recently have made, but what? How are you able to matter-of-factly state your viewpoints?
Well, I think there's several reasons. One is I grew up in the city of Hudson. I spent over 30 years of my life living below 3rd Street. I'm very much intimately involved in the community. There's been a reciprocal agreement between myself, my family, and the African-American community. For years, it's been rooted in trust. And it culminated for me when I ran for the city of Hudson mayor election in, I think, 2004 or 5. And that was a district that I won handily. And as much as I was not successful in the overall race, I kind of hold my hat on that one because I believe the community trusted me, and likewise, I trust the community. So when I was asked to speak on this issue, it wasn't too hard for me. On top of that, you know, I spent my entire adult in the juvenile justice field, the youth development field. I've been involved in county government. I've been involved in city government. I've ran the youth department. I have a pretty keen understanding of how government works. I understand juvenile justice. I understand youth development. And more importantly, I think I have a true pulse on the community.
Oh, wow. It sounds like your roots really go deep within the local community. Now, what are your thoughts on the public response? There have been several Register Star articles. There's been blog posts. There's been forums. And everyone has something to say about the stats and information that you shared. What are your thoughts on all the hoopla?
Well, again, I think what we need to do with this issue is start looking at the success and see it from a strength-based angle. Because I would start out by saying there's discussion where there was no discussion before. So it's a start. I'm not satisfied where the comments are right now. And at the same time, they were predictable. I made mention in my speech that this is where we go. And it's a start. Change is a process, not an event. So therefore, the comments that have started make perfect sense. These folks who are sharing their thoughts are good people. They're good leaders. They run effective and successful departments, and they do not want to be stigmatized as part of this problem, which is a good thing. And at the same time, their defense of themselves, we want to make sure that this is not a personal attack. and that they can actually start seeing this as the issue as it was delivered. It's a systemic issue. And since they are part of the system, as much as we want to make sure that they are not charged with causing the problem, they are part of, they have to be part of the solution now.
Well, another big point that I thought was quite thought-provoking was during your speech at the State of the Community event, you know, you said that the response to some of the solutions and the racial disparity and things that are going on, that most people would come up with a committee or task force. And so the Register Star mentioned that current Mayor Hallenbeck, in his reelection bid, that he's going to reinstate the minority task force. And that came out a few weeks after the State of the Community speech. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, again, I wouldn't consider myself a prophet. I would consider myself pretty well astute to county government and understand how government works. This is a response to, and this is a response that really highlights lack of experience, some ignorance associated with the issue, and lack of leadership. This issue cannot be dealt with through committee. We've tried it. We've attempted to do it through a committee. It's never worked. We understand this has to be done through assignments, and more importantly, someone in leadership has to take a hold of this and deal with it. It can't be delegated away. It can't be abdicated away. It's got to be addressed. And to continue to cite committees, I said in my speech, if you want to kill an idea, you'll form a committee. Unfortunately, this is the start. So now this is part of the comments. We have to continue to move this along and start realizing we need to see some tangible results. Committees normally, again, they will hold on to an issue and it will be killed by a thousand cuts.
Okay. Well, how would you describe your current relationship with Mayor Hallenbeck?
Let's see. I first want to say this. I've had a lot of inquiries to why I'm even involved in this issue.
Yes.
I want to make it clear. Presently, I have no interest in running for political office in the city of Hudson. Presently, I have no interest in supporting a candidate in the city of Hudson for office. So therefore, I have, in terms of a relationship, politically, we have none. Personally, Billy and I have always had a respectful and cordial relationship. And I can't see that changing. Professionally, I'm very concerned that he lacks the aptitude and attitude to grasp this complex issue.
Okay. Well, you, after all the speakers that were at the State of the Community event, you definitely are standing out there in the community. Everyone came up with solutions and resolutions on how to deal with the county or the city's disparity in racial hiring, jobs, housing, all sorts of different things. But I want to ask you a question, and it may take a few seconds for you to think about it. Why did you personally choose to take on this role?
Well, again, this role is not foreign to me. I think if anyone looks at the history of my career in politics, my career in government, I have been somewhat active in this issue, maybe not as purposeful or focused as I am now. So this issue is, again, something that I believe in. I just don't support. I actually believe in it. And so when I speak from my heart. I don't speak from prepared notes. And more importantly, again, this reciprocal relationship that I've had goes back years. Mm. So it's been built on trust. I was asked to speak on this issue. I think I'm pretty fluent and pretty astute on the issue, and it would make sense that I was the choice to speak on it. And I think what lends my voice some credibility is I am not a political candidate. I'm not looking for someone to support me on this issue for political reasons. I'm looking for people to see this issue as, again, as it's a systemic issue. And if they could see the harm that's being done by leaving this alone, and if they could see it as, again, less of a personal attack and more of a systemic issue, they'd be more apt to buy into it.
Okay. Well, you mentioned a P5 formula. Do you Can you elaborate further on that?
Yes. The issue with racism, discrimination, disparity, since the Civil Rights Act in the mid-60s, you have found the shedding of its original location in rhetoric, and it's been displaced in a safer area where people can hide behind a system. It's a safer place. And when I say a system of P5, what I'm suggesting is proposals, plans, procedures, practices, policies. And sometimes it's the lack of them. But again, you've heard some of the responses suggest that the policy here is you have to take a civil service test. There has been no mention of a proposal to rectify the issue. Therefore, there can't be a plan in place to deal with it. Mm-hmm. So that sometimes it is the existence of them, and sometimes it's the lack of existence of them that continue this disparity.
Okay. There's a lot of movement that's going on. You've mentioned that a few times this afternoon. How do we organize the people? And when I mention people, I mean people of all colors. And you seem very impassioned right now. How do we organize the people in the area in general?
Well, I think what we want to do, first of all, is take politics and personalities out of the equation and just keep it purposeful and strategic. There was a comment made by a department head that said the statistics were a political license. And I would suggest he was half right in the fact that it's a license for change. It doesn't need to be a political license. We need to see this as a license to change. And if we can continue to take personalities and politics out of it and just remain focused on the issue, you'll see people be less threatened. They wouldn't see us as adversarial. They will see us as the issue is pure, and it needs to be addressed by several. And how do we go about addressing this issue? I think it would be consistent with how the issue was caused.
Okay.
If the issue was caused from an evolutionary process, it would only make sense that we use the same process that caused it to actually deal with it. And that would be, again, slowly moving this movement forward, slowly growing the movement in an evolutionary way. One of my great reads that I've had in the past was by a gentleman named Malcolm Gladwell. He wrote the book Tipping Point, and he spoke about how social epidemics are very similar to health epidemics and how these things occur. And he talked about an evolutionary process where contagion sets in, where you end up addressing what he considered the broken window theory. So as we move slowly and as we get contagion to set in, we're also assessing and addressing small things along the way. Everything, because what he said was if you dealt with small things, the big things didn't happen. So with that in mind, I think this the momentum needs to be slowly carved out. As you slowly bring people into the fold, you get total buy-in. We're not looking at having mass numbers, because mass numbers sometimes looks like a revolutionary approach, and you lose commitment. The issue gets watered down. I think we keep this thing moving, and as it gets more contagious, we just slowly bring this issue forward. And again, I think we remain purposeful, remain strategic. And we have benchmarks. We have markers. We monitor the progress. We continue to communicate our vision, our goals as we go along. And more importantly, we continue to communicate our results as we go along, because it's important for folks to see some results. And I think you're absolutely correct that this isn't an issue where it's just the African-American community that's going to move this forward. Mm-hmm. It's how do we make it contagious for other folks to join in. And I think the way you make it more contagious is to make it less threatening for them. And if we can continue to just to suggest this is a systemic issue, they may have inherited the system, they're not blamed for it, and at the same time, they have to feel responsible to be part of the solution.
Great. Very insightful. Now, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to come in the studio this afternoon. Do you have any final thoughts or anything you would like to share and put out there?
I just want to, again, reiterate the fact that this is an issue that I believe strongly in. I've invested a great deal of my time and effort into. This is not a political statement. This is not a statement from an adversarial approach. It is a pure position that's based in what not only fair, not only what's right, it's what makes sense in terms of making sure that our governmental services that we provide are representative of the folks that we serve.
Great. It's been a pleasure speaking with you today, Dan. Thanks again for dropping by.
You're very welcome, and thank you for having me.
This is Caleb King. I live in Glens Falls, but I rep Park City till the day I die. You listen to the Barbershop Talk on WGXC 90.7 FM. And that's the truth.
Caught you looking for the same thing. It's a new thing. Check out this. I bring a older roll below the level because I'm living low next to the base.
Come on.
Turn up the radio. They're claiming I'm a criminal. But now I wonder how. Some people never know. The enemy could be the friend guardian. I'm now a hooligan. I rock the party and clear all the madness. I'm not a racist. Preach to teach the
officer. Cause they never had this.
Number one, never wanna run about the gun. I wasn't licensed to have one. The minute they see me, fear me. I'm the epitome of public enemy. Used, abused without clues. I refuse to blow a fuse. They even had it on the news.
Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype.
Yes. Was the start of my last jam, so here it is again, another death jam. But since I gave you all a little something that I knew you lacked, they still consider me a new jack. All the critics you can hang on my hold the rope, but they hope to the Pope and pray it ain't dope. The follower of Farrakhan, don't tell me that you understand until you hear the man. The book of the new school rap game, writers treat me like Coltrane, insane. Yes to them, but to me, I'm a different kind. We're brothers on the same mind, unblind, caught in the middle end, not surrendering. I don't rhyme for the sake of riddling. Some claim that I'm a smuggler. Some say I never heard of ya. A rap burglar, false media. We don't need it, do we?
It's fake, that's what it be to you, dig me. Yo, Terminator X, step up on the stand and show these people what time it is, boy. Don't believe the hype.
It's a sequel. As an equal, can I get this through to you? My 98 booming with a trunk of funk. All the jealous punks can't stop the dunk. Coming from the school of hard knocks. Some perpetrate, they drink Clorox. Attack the black because I know they lack exact. The cold facts, and still they try to Xerox. The leader of the new school, uncool. Never played the fool, just made the rules. Remember there's a need to get alarm. Again, I said I was a time bomb. In the daytime, radio scared of me, cause I'm mad, plus I'm the enemy. They can't come on and play me in prime time, cause I know the time, plus I'm getting mine. I get on the mix late in the night, they know I'm living right, so here goes the mic sight. Before I let it go, don't rush my show. You try to reach and grab and get elbow. Word to herb, yo, if you can't swing this, learn the words, you might sing this. Just a little bit of the taste of the bass for you. As you get up and dance at the LQ, when some deny it, defy it, I swing bolos. Then they clear the lane, I go solo. The meaning of all of that, the media is the whack. As you believe it's true, it blows me through the roof. Suckers, liars, give me a shovel. Some writers I know are damn devils. From them I say don't believe the hype.
Yo, Chuck, they must be on the pipe, right?
Their pens and pads I snatch cause I've had it. I'm not an addict, fiending for static. I see their tape recorder and I grab it.
No, you can't have it back, silly rabbit.
I'm going to my media assassin, Harry Allen. I gotta ask him.
Yo, Harry, you're a writer, are we that tight?
Don't believe the hype.
All to do for me.
Don't believe, don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype.
I got flavor in all those things you know.
Yeah, boy, part two bum rush the show. Yo, Grip.
Get the green, black, and red in. Gold down, countdown, and Armageddon. 88, you wait, the S.
ones will put the left in effect, and I still will rock the hard jam, treat it like a seminar, reach the bourgeois and rock the boulevard. Some say I'm negative, but then I'm positive. What do I got to give?
The media says this,
red,
yo,
black,
don't
and green.
That hype. They got to be,
you know what I
hype.
Mean?
You know what I'm saying? Yo, the megas got them going up to see Captain Kirk like a jerk, and they out of work. Let me tell y'all a little something, man. A lot of people on daytime radio scared of us because they too ignorant to understand the lyrics of the truth that we pumping into them clouds, that brain cells, that they're spun under the wooden skulls they call caps. You know what I'm saying? But the S1s are straightening it out quick, fast, in a hurry. Don't worry, flavor vision ain't blurry. You know what I'm saying?
Let's go, Big Vern.
Let's go.
Yeah. Explicit. I promise. I make it out regardless. I'm making progress, but I just started. My life lessons be my blessings, but I'm so guarded. Yeah, y'all know I'm so guarded. I'm rolling. And I don't mean smoking. I'm rolling up in my dreams and something nice, and I'm looking mean. Don't hate me. I have ways that I deal with haters. I might smile and say, see you later. But later might be a lifetime. Can't blame me because it's my shine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, homie, yeah, it's my time. Poetry, when you hear it, you know it's me. I'm flying high. I take your soul with me. And when the nighttime comes, it's time that I gotta wake up. Working all night so my body all ached up. Goals, dreams, motivation. I hope you stand for my ovation. I hope you dress for this occasion. It's a celebration. We need more bottles, yeah, and then more models. But if it don't work out, I gotta make it, even if I gotta take it.
Welcome back. We have the following events taking place on our community calendar. On Tuesday, April 9th, there is a PIMS, Person in Need of Supervision, discussion taking place at TSL located at 434 Columbia Street in Hudson. Every Thursday at 5:30 p.m., the public general meeting takes place at 755 Columbia Street. All are welcome to participate. Volunteers are needed for packing of the food bags for the mobile food pantry. Volunteers can come out to the Moose Lodge in Greenport at 1:45 p.m. on April 12th and April 26th. The mobile food pantry will be handing out food to those in need on Saturday, April 13th and Saturday, April 27th. For further events, please visit our calendar at www.staleybkeith.org. And as always, I'm wishing you much love, peace, and soul. Until next month, my friends.